The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went across the Sea of Galilee. A large crowd followed him because they saw the signs he was performing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. The Jewish feast of Passover was near. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" He said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter, said to him, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what good is that for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people recline." Now there was a great deal of grass in that place, so the men reclined, about 5,000 in number. Then Jesus took the 11 loaves, gave thanks, and distributed them to those who are reclining, and also as much of the fish as they wanted. When they had had their fill, he said to his disciples, "Gather the fragments left over so that nothing will be wasted." So they collected them and filled 12 wicker baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves that had been more than they could eat. When the people saw that the sign he had done, they said, "This is truly the prophet, the one who is coming into the world." Since Jesus knew that they were going to come and carry him off to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain alone. The Gospel of the Lord. First of all, I have to say this is the first weekend that I've ever celebrated a Mass facing the tabernacle. I don't know how many priests you have that are not as familiar. I mean, I grew up in the, you know, saying the prayers in Latin at Mass, but I think, and I'm not among the people that we work, usually in this country at least, are very much English speaking, and all the liturgy is in English. But I think you who are here, because there is that retaining of Latin, I'm sure that all of you are here with a conscience, really believing in why you're here. And sometimes we go to a Mass in complete English, and it's a routine, you know. I'm not so sure it is such a routine for you. I think you were really convinced in your heart of the need for the liturgy to be expressed in this more majestic and honoring way towards God. The homily, I'm afraid, is going to be a little long. I really tried to shorten it. I haven't been too successful. My name is Father Vernon Coleman. I'm from the Society of Divine Vocations. We are a congregation founded in Italy. First of all, commenting on the Gospel, notice that in the Gospel, we hear what happened before the miracle of the loaves, and we hear what happened after the miracle of the loaves, but we don't hear anything in the Gospel of the miracle itself. And that's the point of this reading, namely that Jesus himself is the bread of life. And he is the one who gives life. He gives his body and blood. And we know that in the liturgy, in this Mass that we celebrate, you know, there are two main parts. At least we stress that in our liturgies. The liturgy of the Word that goes up to the offertory, and the liturgy of the Eucharist. And both are important. Both are a celebration of the table of the Lord. What is that saying? So Jesus present in his body and blood in the liturgy of the Eucharist, he's present to us in a personal, intimate way. But in the Word of God, in the Gospel, God is also present in that Word. And so I'm going to kind of talk about that in the beginning. That Word that is brought into a more special way, in different ways, by different religious orders. So we are the Society of Divine Vocations. We want to thank Father Hellman, your pastor, for permitting us to appeal to you, not only for your financial support, but also for the spirit of your prayers. My name is Father Vernon Coleman. I'm a member of the religious order, the Society of Divine Vocations. We're also called Vocationist Fathers. We were founded by Blessed Justin Rossellillo of Pianura, outside Naples, Italy. He was declared blessed in 1911. First, in speaking of religious orders in general in the Church, each has its own charism or gift. That is something like the variety and beauty of flowers in a garden. Each flower contributes and enriches the beauty of the whole garden. So also each religious order contributes and enriches the whole Church, the body of Christ, of which you and I and we, sinners though we may be, we are. By drawing our attention, so the orders, religious orders, draw attention to and help us better live different aspects of the Gospel. For example, the Franciscans exemplify the spirit of poverty, the Dominicans preaching, the Jesuits obedience. The charism, or God-given gift, through our founder, Blessed Justin Rossellillo, of the Society of Divine Vocations, is that of the spirituality devoted to promoting vocations, drawing us to union with God. And Jesus calls his disciples to this gospel. Follow me, he says to his disciples. Father Justin said, the most important thing in life is to discern his or her vocation. Our baptism, yours and mine, has given each of us a call by God, a vocation, first of all, to holiness. That baptism is a consecration, as the people of God, to a new way of life and holiness by putting into practice the Word, the Gospel Jesus taught, which the Church, through its teaching, has safeguarded for 2,000 years, drawing us closer to God and that goal of eternal salvation and happiness. Religious orders strive to live the ideal of family and community by living out the gospel through the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. While not all are called to take such vows, all Christians are called to put them into practice according to their own state in life. The intensity of Blessed Justin was seen in his fervor and dedication, living the gospel so close to the mind of God that it led him to found a new religious order. The Society of Divine Vocations consists of Vocationist Fathers, Vocationist Sisters, and our initials for the sisters and priests and brothers are SDV, Society of Divine Vocations. There's also the SVD, which is Society Verbum Dei, okay, which is an older order than ours. And the third part, so there's a Vocation Fathers, Vocation Sisters, and the third part is the Institute of Consecrated Life in the World, or Vocationist Apostles of Universal Sanctification, or AUS are their initials. Father Justin was born on January 18, 1891. His parents were Luigi, or Rossellillo, and Giuseppina Simplicia. They were humble, devoted family of limited financial means. When young, his aunts were teachers, and they gave him private lessons, as well as did his pastor. At the age of 5, he received First Communion, and from the beginning, he had a deep love for the Eucharist. At age 10, he entered the seminary of his diocese of Pozzuoli. He was of extraordinary intelligence and holiness, And his family, all his family, made sacrifices so he could follow his vocation. But poverty would grip his family, and lifelong illnesses stayed with him. Father Justin made that remained with him beyond the seminary days, which made his stay in the seminary questionable. But this also influenced his specific mission, that he made it a pillar of his congregation, saying, poverty must never become an obstacle to following one's vocation. During holiday periods spent at home while in a seminary, he discovered the seed of priestly and religious vocations in many young people. From them, he formed a group called the Most Faithful, who would later become a nucleus of the future First Vocationary, and a vocationary in our community is a house to discern one's vocation. Once Father Justin was asked how the Vocationist Society came about, he replied, "The Society of Divine Vocations was born from a seminarian who used to teach the catechism each day and sometimes all day. At his priestly ordination on September 20th of 1913, he took a vow of charity, promising to do whatever would give the greatest glory to God. During the Litany of the Saints at the Mass, he renewed his vow to found a religious congregation dedicated to the service of vocations. With growing awareness of the financial poverty of families, Justin organized a pious union, which was a group of generous, daily communicant Catholic women who enthusiastically raised funds to send students to the seminary. These women, vocationist cooperators, at that time were called, would become the first vocationist sisters. It was unimaginable between World War I and World War II that free training would be offered to all candidates for religious life and priesthood. But Justin did just this. For those who had the intention of becoming vocationists, but also for those wanting to join a seminary or another religious family. His joy and desire were to provide good vocations for the good of the church and for universal sanctification. On September 20th of 1920, he became the pastor of St. George's Church in Pianura, to which he was appointed and for the next 35 years, until he died on August 2nd of 1955. So he died in the last century. He described the parish to be like a womb where vocations are conceived and nourished. The next month, in 1920, on October 18th of that year, Justin opened the first vocationary in the parish house. This date is considered the birthday of the Society of Divine Vocations. So he took a vow when he was ordained, but in 7 years later, in 1920, is really considered the beginning of the society. At that time, he also began a 4:30 a.m. Mass for farmers and workers so they could receive communion before going to work. Two pillars of parish ministry for Father Justin were daily communion and daily catechesis, to constantly enkindle the love of God through Holy Communion and the Word of God. He was dedicated to the poor and organized parish charitable works. He assisted the sick. He found work for the unemployed and houses for homeless. Financial needs of the vocationist congregation never caused him to neglect the poor. As a priest, he never did anything for money, and he never asked for money. His motto was, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his justice, and the rest will be given you in abundance." On October 1st, the following year of 1921, six aspirants became the Congregation of Vocational Sisters. Without their maternal affection for candidates to the priesthood and religious life, many would not have fulfilled their calling. In the 35 years that Father Justin was pastor of St. George's Church in Pianura, 60 men became vocationists and over 100 women joined the Vocationist Sisters. We now are missioned in 14 countries and are sent where we are invited by a bishop of a diocese to fill in, for example, in a place of a serious priest shortage and also in impoverished areas. Father Justin had many extraordinary gifts, such as seeing hearts or knowing intimate details of many people. He also knew of the fate of soldiers whose families had not heard from them during the war. Once a woman from Salerno sent her daughter to Father Justin to have a mass celebrated for her husband's soul, as she received news that he died in the war. Father Justin told the girl to go home. Your father is on the way. When she arrived home, she met her father. In concluding this homily, I'm just going to ask, what quality do you think would be a sign that a person might be called to the priesthood or religious life? And I would give you a story as an example of how what someone thought this person had a vocation to priesthood or religious life. So we'll call the person Aaron. He was out walking when a man approached him and asked if he had a cellular phone. He wanted to make a call, and Aaron said, yes, here it is. At first, Aaron thought the person might run away with it, but he remembered the words of the gospel, give and it will be given to you. So Aaron moved away as the person would have privacy to speak. When finished, the man spoke to Aaron and he said to him, have you ever thought about becoming a priest? Aaron, already a priest, said yes, and he parted. Aaron said he walked so fast that day and was so full of joy because God has a sense of humor. You know, so it takes the ideal, you know, is to follow Christ. And if you follow Christ, whether you are religious or lay or whatever, you are following the cross, okay? And the cross is not only out there being caused by people who persecute Christians, but the cross is also within us. The cross of just dealing with our own shortcomings and limitations and realizing that God redeemed us on the cross and that our sufferings, as much as we can blame ourselves or whatever we want to point to as the cause of our sin, God can use those sufferings. You know what St. Paul said, right? In weakness is my strength. You know, God had Paul had that thorn in the flesh, and he thought, if I didn't have this thorn in the flesh, I could really do a much better job. And what does God say to him? He says, my grace is sufficient for you, you know. And then he adds, in weakness, you know, power reaches God's life, reaches perfection. What is that saying? It's saying that we're not in charge. Our weaknesses can help us realize, you know what? I'm not God. I am someone who shares human nature of my fellow brothers and sisters, their weaknesses too. And this God is God. He is the one who can take my life and make use of it as it is, even in our weaknesses. So even if we are called the priests or religious, yes, we make mistakes, clearly, but also for us, there's confession and there's the realization every Mass. What's it about? It's about someone who has given his life out of love, and not just someone, but God, walked among us carried our way of life, our burdens, and died for us. That love that he has, only God could have. And that love is for each of us. And it's bigger than our sins. But our sins help us to be aware that who's in charge? God is in charge of my life. And that's what God loves. In Psalm 51, it says, a humble, contrite heart is what he desires in each of us. A humble, contrite heart. You know, the people that went up to the temple, you know, to pray, those two men, the one had so much everything going for him. They say the pastor, any pastor would be proud, would be very happy to have that man in his parish. He did everything right, but he had one mistake. And the other man in the back said, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. 6 words, and the other man said 26 words. What was the mistake of that man who did everything right? He said, I thank God that I'm not like that tax collector. That was his mistake. And we hear in the readings today, what are we about? We are to love one another. We are to forgive one another. And that through that forgiveness and love, we bring healing also to each other by the grace of God. Thank you for your patience. I did a handout, and I'm not going to read it with you, but if some of you do the Liturgy of the Hours, you know that it's in 4 weeks, right? Week 1, 2, 3, and 4. So Father Justin did a prayer book, a devotional, and the devotional is divided into the 12 months of the year and 4 weeks of each month, so that this week is ending of July and the beginning of August, but it's also the first week of the new cycle. So on this sheet is our morning prayer, part of a morning prayer that we do, and also to the one of the Blessed Mother this month. Next month it changes, and in August. So the first week in August is also here. So it's a morning prayer. The back side just gives a little comment on his life and a prayer for vocations.